friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Oh, yeah. Kickoff feels so far away, yet it'll be here before you know it. And it also means, you know what I don't like about Sunday 1 o'clock games? Dan. Dan's in for Jeff today. You know what I don't like?
What?
It's like when the game is over, you feel like Monday is ready to kick in. Like, it feels like the weekend's over. I'm sorry. I've always felt that way. Like, I always feel like it's weekend. Then you have a 1 o'clock kickoff. And then the game's over, and then you kind of catch the 4 o'clock, 4:30 game. You probably watch that all the way through, and then for sure it feels like the weekend is over, unless your team is playing in the Sunday nighter, which I don't have that really have that much of that experience with the Browns playing in Sunday nighters. So it feels like the weekend's over. It drives me crazy. I hate that feeling. It's like fear of missing out, but it's a different kind of anxiety. And then you're like, oh, I didn't do anything all weekend. Oh my God, I laid around all day and watched games. Now, I haven't done that in a while on Sundays, but you know what I'm saying?
It's interesting that you put it that way, because mine, like growing up, always knowing the weekend was over during the fall and that school was coming on Monday was when I heard the clock of 60 minutes, the ticking of that stopwatch.
That is a great call. Yeah, I agree with you.
The ticking of that stopwatch was the minute I was like, oh no, I got to go do homework.
I've got to get all this done by when? Mm-hmm. I'm going to be up all night.
Yeah, it always felt that way. And then the minute I would hear that tick, 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 tick of 60 minutes, I was like, oh God, I got to get everything done.
All right, a couple things. One, I'm going to ask you, would you play Quinshon Judkins on Sunday? Would you? You know he practiced yesterday. Do you think he's got what it takes to go hop on the field this Sunday? And what will he mean for this team? I think we're I hope he has a great game. I really do. But I do think that we're I don't want to say overestimating his value, but the odds of him having a gigantic 100-yard-plus game are not very high. I'll just be honest. I mean, you're asking a lot out of a rookie to step on the field and, you know, try to lead you to the promised land against one of the best teams in the league. Now, yet their defense did absolutely fall apart in the fourth quarter against Buffalo. I do want to start here for 1 second.
Sure.
And I know we didn't talk about this, and I probably should have laid this on you earlier. But after listening,
everybody's having a conversation. I'll make a fool of myself.
After listening to the morning show today, and knowing all of the hoopla outside of the game about the 30th anniversary, you're ready to shut the faucet down on that or what? Like you said, and it was just a brief moment conversation that we had earlier this morning where you seem irritated by the whole thing and you're like, you tell me what you feel. I'm not going to put words in your mouth.
This is a me problem, and you are more than welcome to yell at me for said me problem as necessary. I am very much a control what you can control type person. That's kind of how I look at everything, where everything else takes place outside of me. I'm in charge of what I am in charge of. I control what I can control. If the Ravens want to throw their little anniversary thing, am I going to be offended by this and look at it and go, is it probably not the best thing for you to do? Yeah, but I'm not going to lose any sleep and lose my mind over it because it's out of my control. That's what they are doing. I'm worried about me. I'm an 0-1. I'm an 0-1 football team. I need to figure out why my offense can't score more than 17 points, and it can't simply be, as much as we've heard from everybody saying, oh yeah, the Bengals put the dome over you and, you know, ran cover two and Joe Flacco took what he could take. You couldn't find explosive plays to save your soul on Sunday. And you're not going to win football games in the NFL if you can't find runs and throws of over 20 yards.
Okay, the fact that you're already into this part of the conversation means that you have 100% turned the page on the 30th anniversary stuff.
Yes, because that's how I think. Is I'm like, you could do whatever you want to do. Whatever fan service you want to have, I don't care if in the middle of the service you parade everybody from 30 years down and announce their names. I don't care. I got to figure out why I can't score points. Like, that's where my mindset is. I control what I can control.
But you can't control what you do. But here's the point. As a fan, you can't control any of that. None of it. But what you can control are your emotions and feelings towards an organization that, as Chris Rose so aptly put, was shoplifted from us years ago.
That is correct.
You can control that. And by the way, I'm going to say this, and I normally we don't talk about it. I'm trying to talk about other shows and stuff. And, you know, Ken and I, sometimes we get heated about things that we talk about, and people laugh. And they're like, oh, you guys fighting or this, that. I mean, I have tons of respect for Ken from this morning because, I mean, yeah, I know he got a little bit crazy, but his whole passion and argument, and I'm glad their show's on YouTube. We'll probably be on YouTube here very soon too, but that people can go back and actually watch that what Ken was yelling and screaming about this morning, and he was like, I'm out of here. You can do the show by yourself. Man, that was real. That was all very, very real. And the one thing that Ken and I do absolutely positively share is that same kind of idiot's passion, I guess, in some ways, where, especially when it comes to fans, like Ken gets it, man. He understands it the same way I do. And I think a lot of it for me has to do with my upbringing and my family and my dad and, you know, this generational thing that we have that I always talk about with the Browns, that it's generational. If you think about it, nobody in their right mind under 30 should probably be a Browns fan if you did it based on winning. But the reason you are is because your family was, because someone who had, and it may not necessarily be your family, someone who was influential on you when you were young that said, we're going to stick with this team no matter what, no matter if we don't like the owner, we don't like the quarterback, we don't like the general manager, we think this is ridiculous, and we have a million zillion reasons to not like the team. Somehow, some way, someone put in your DNA the ability to be a Browns fan, and sometimes it's not logical. It's not. If you think about it, being a Browns fan, if you're under 30, God bless you, man. God bless you, because someone steered you in that direction, and you're the future, where all of us that are kind of sitting here middle ages or just entering middle ages are kind of like, you know, this is what we knew when we were kids, and we get it, and we understand it, and that's why we get upset on weeks like this when we see that the Ravens marketing department decided that it was a good idea to make this their 30th anniversary game. And I can't wait, because we've got Tom McCarthy coming up, and I talked about this yesterday. From our perspective, on the 30th anniversary, we're sitting in Cleveland, right? We're all right here. That 30th anniversary means nothing to us. It really doesn't. All it is a reminder of somebody coming in and stealing your team from you, okay? And by the way, when I was on Baltimore Radio, they got it. Like, they still understand that the Colts were stolen from them. Got it. Totally get it. Again, two fan bases that supported their franchises, and the owners decided that they were going to be oblivious to that and move their teams. So, you know, when Tom joins us, and I said the only reason we're going to even have any kind of inkling on this 30th anniversary thing, and by the way, it's all season, so CBS really doesn't need to talk about it during this game. And if they do, I get it. If they need to talk about it for a minute and they want to show all the guys that have played for the Ravens over the last 30 years with one shot, that's great. But dear God, don't dwell on it all game. If they dwell on that all game, that means the game probably wasn't good because they needed another storyline to talk about to go into it. And or it's the producer of the game that is absolutely sticking it to the announcer. And by the way, it doesn't matter. Like, we could all get mad at the announcer about this or that. At the end of the day, they're talking about what they see on the screen. And what they see on the screen is prompted by the producer and the director that says take, and it goes. And the producer is pushing the content to get on the air. Hopefully, CBS does not throw that content in our face for 2.5 hours while we're all watching the game on Sunday. So Tom McCarthy is joining us at 11:40. I can't wait to talk to him about it.
It'll be a fun one on that.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I said, this is where I am, like, you know, you could go, well, what if, you know, the Bears did something like that against the Packers? Bears. Or what if the Vikings did something like that against the Packers? I'd probably feel the same exact way.
No, it's the Colts. I mean, Baltimore fans totally get it.
It's the only thing I've ever really It's the only thing I've never really taken problem with what you have always said, which is anytime you blame Ravens fans for what took place when it came to the Browns. That's the only time I've ever really been mad at you about the entire thing.
Well, I'm not, to be honest with you. Oh, you mean this week?
No. Like, in general, when you're like, well, I can't believe that they could root for that team. I can't believe he could do this and this and this. That's the only time I've ever really been mad at you.
Really?
Because it's like, yes.
And how many years are we 10 years yet?
It takes a good amount to get me mad.
Yeah.
But that's the only time, because it's like, these people, this is the same thing of like, you know, yelling at a bunch of people for breaking the law when everybody else around them is breaking the law. Like,
you're breaking the law. You're still breaking the law.
But that's what people do.
Yeah,
that's
no, how it's not. There wouldn't be a law if there wasn't something
really
to be broken.
Are these people supposed to sit there and go, oh, we took this from Cleveland. I cannot root for them to save myself. No, they have a team with their name on it.
It's called
city
ethics.
Pride.
It's ethical.
The same way that you have city pride for your team.
Yeah, I have city pride too, but there's some ethics to it, right? I mean, seriously, if you were sitting there 30 years ago and you were a Colts fan, there's no way you didn't feel dirty about stealing the team. You know you did. You felt you needed a shower because you felt dirty, and then you justified it by saying, well, Indianapolis stole our team from us.
But it's got,
again, I'm not talking about fan bases
name,
that didn't show up
city
to the
pride.
Game.
It's all of those things that you do for Cleveland is the same thing that happens in Baltimore. Blaming the fans for any of this stuff is such misplaced anger. It's ridiculous.
I'm telling you that in the beginning, there is no way those fans didn't feel dirty about taking our team. And their only justification was, well, Indianapolis did it to us. That's it. And I'm going to be mad at the fans. I'm mad at Art Modell. And
beautiful.
I was mad at Mike White. And I was mad at
beautiful.
You know, county government once again.
It's all I needed to hear from you.
Yeah. I mean, but although how mad could I have been at county government? You know,
I mean,
so,
we're all, you know, it's kind of like a steady bubbling of anger at county government, and then it raises a little from time to time.
I remember when the team moved and listening to Lee Weingart, who I think would be, well, I'll leave it at that. But I thought Lee did a really, really good job of representing the fans back in the day when that was going on and trying to help us understand how stupid this whole thing was when it was going down and how the fans were getting robbed at that time. And, you know, and he was super young at the time it was county commissioner at that point. One of three county commissioners at that point. And I remember listening to him on Triv from Columbus while I was down there because I was just so mad. I was so angry. And, you know, it's just, I get it. You get it. I get it. If you're in my age range or understand that, you would be mad at the fans. I never felt good for Oklahoma City fans. I'll be honest with you. It's the same thing. Every time a franchise leaves a city where the fans supported the team,
oh, great.
It makes me sick.
You and I have always agreed on this.
It's
until the
total
end.
Greed.
Bring back the Supersonics. Bring back the Expos.
Like, tell me you don't feel bad for the St. Louis fans too?
Absolutely.
Like, I feel bad for them on the Rams too.
It's a joke what happened with Kroenke and the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, remember the little kids, the little kid thing, ripping Kroenke on that thing. It was just
I've got family that lives in St. Louis. Yeah. I got stories I can tell.
I have 100% turned the page on this whole thing right now. So I want to just talk about the game for the rest of the day.
Now
but
help
I know
me find
listen.
Out how this offense can get explosive plays.
Well, here's the other part. If you feel like you need to get it off your chest today, I don't care. I'll let you. I don't care. I just don't, because I respect you. I respect, you know, Browns fans. We are all one and the same. And, you know, it's been a long week. And man, nothing would make me feel better than watching them go in there and just stick it to Baltimore this weekend. You want to have your stupid little celebration of 30 games and you couldn't wait one more game? Nothing would be better than the ultimate face at the end by just saying scoreboard. Just get me there. All right, let's talk about Quinshon Judkins when we come back. Also, Merrill Hodge is going to join us at 11:20. Tom McCarthy, who's calling the game on CBS, will be with us. Our good friend Chris Ossenheimer going to talk some Guardians with us at 12:20. Tim May at 12:40. We've got Two Keys and a Lock coming up. We've got Quick Predicts. We've got all these great things coming up. It's all on Baskin and Phelps with Dan Menigan.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.